The 1960s was a turbulent decade in U.S. history. The Vietnam War was raging, and anti-war demonstrations, largely led by the youth, were spreading across America. The Civil Rights Movement achieved a landmark victory with the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibited segregation in public facilities and employment discrimination on the basis of sex, race, and religion. However, the 1960s also birthed the start of the feminist movement's second wave. The second wave focused on female liberation and examining the effects of gender discrimination and stereotypes on women. The start of the 1960s had a bleak life for women. Despite being half of the country's voters, they had virtually no role in government. 2 out of 100 senators were women, 15 of 435 representatives were women, 2 of the 307 federal district court judges were women, and the statistics continue. Women were also relegated to low-paying jobs. They were secretaries and waitresses and beauticians. Any economic progress made by them was also eventually regressed. The Second Red Scare forced women to return their focus to the household in order to prevent being a quote-unquote radical. And while being a housewife was praised as a rewarding role, women everywhere only felt dissatisfaction. However, this all changed by the second wave of feminism, which was largely shaped by one person in particular, Betty Friedan, a 1942 honors graduate of Smith College and former psychology PhD candidate for the University of California, Berkeley. Although The Second Sex, a 1949 book by French philosopher Simone de Beauvoir, played a critical role in the feminist movement's ideology, Betty Friedan's 1963 book, The Feminine Mystique, contributed to the vigor of the 1960s feminist movement. Friedan's book centered on the role educators, psychologists, and sociologists, as well as the media, played in shaping a woman's belief that her only fulfillment will come from becoming a housewife and raising a family. Friedan concluded that women abandon their own desires in order to meet these goals, yet instead of fulfillment, they feel incredibly unhappy. Friedan herself experienced this discontentment when she left graduate school to marry her husband and raise her 3 children. At a college reunion, Friedan discovered the majority of women in her class experienced this same unfulfillment. In conjunction with the Feminine Mystique, the President's Commission on the Status of Women, a panel chaired by Eleanor Roosevelt that was tasked with examining the status of American women, released a report that called for equal employment opportunity, more child care service options, and the end to legal restrictions on a married woman's ability to own property, start a business, and make contracts. The commission report helped shape legal reform in the U.S. In 1963, the Equal Pay Act was passed, requiring equal pay for men and women who performed the same jobs under equal conditions. Even though a wage gap still exists between men and women, the Equal Pay Act was the first federal law that prohibited gender discrimination and bolstered the feminist movement. Title 12 of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of race, sex, and religion, although, ironically, Virginia Representative Howard Smith included the clause about sex as a hindrance to the passage of the act, also established the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC, at first focused on racial discrimination in the employment area. However, they also ignored gender discrimination, which prompted Betty Friedan and 300 other women to form the National Organization for Women, or NOW, in 1966, of which Friedan was the president. In their statement of purpose, NOW stated that the time has come to move beyond the abstract argument, discussion, and symposia over the status and special nature of women, which has raged in America in recent years. The time has come to confront with concrete action the conditions that now prevent women from enjoying the equality of opportunity and freedom of which is their right as individual Americans and as human beings. And indeed, NOW confronted women's issues with concrete action. The organization fought for reformed abortion laws, sued 1,300 of the largest companies for gender discrimination, successfully lobbied President Johnson to issue an executive order that included women in federal affirmative action requirements, and also challenged sexist policies. In 1967, Now persuaded the issuance of Executive Order 11375, which prohibited government contractors from discriminating on the basis of sex and require them to adopt affirmative action to ensure that women are properly represented in their workforce. In 1968, separate help ads for women and men were banned by the EEOC. And although Now's membership was growing throughout the years, feminist demonstrations also existed outside of the organization. In 1968, the Miss America protest was a demonstration against the inherent sexism and objectification of the pageant competitions. Only women ages 18 to 23 could compete, and they had to be unmarried, intelligent, but only to a certain degree, and thin, but again, only to a certain degree. The pageants also included white women only, which prompted the Miss Black America pageant in protest. The 1968 Miss America protest is credited with introducing feminism to the mainstream consciousness of American society, and many historians claim it expanded the conversation on liberation and rights, which helped form the second wave of feminism. While the 1960s seemed to guarantee unfulfillment in women, the launch of a reinvigorated feminist movement revolutionized the decade and even affects us today. By 1996, only 5% of women and 8% of men said they would never vote for a female presidential candidate. And in 2016, we had our first presidential candidate when Hillary Clinton won the Democratic Party's nomination. In 2005, an entire generation of women had grown up without believing that they were inferior to men. And even now, vocabulary such as sexual harassment, the glass ceiling, and the mommy track exist to help facilitate conversations on women's issues. So thank you to Betty Friedan, the National Organization for Women, and the President's Commission on the Status of Women for helping shape the 1960s feminist movement, and thus the present feminist movement.